the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're going to read the first 8 verses. We're going to go to Exodus. We're going to really give our Bibles a workout tonight. So, because what we're studying about is Him. 16:1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. They were not to forget, and neither are we. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast or thy boundaries 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even remain all night unto the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. We want to remember that Moses is instructing this second generation. They weren't there when this Passover happened. The first generation was there. The first generation is whom the Lord delivered out of Egypt. The second generation wasn't there. They had to be instructed in the ways of observing the Passover. I'd like to look in Exodus 13, even in the instructions that were given the night of the Passover in preparation for the Passover, God was looking forward to the time that this second generation, whom he knew would go into the land, he had specific instructions. Exodus 13, and we're going to begin with the 3rd verse. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. Notice these 3 words again in the 5th verse. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which ye swear unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the 7th day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Verse 8, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of what? Of that which the Lord did unto me when I came out of Egypt. They were never, ever to forget. Now this month Abib, here in the verse 1 of Deuteronomy 16, Abib, this is our April. But turn back to Exodus 12. We'll be spending some time in Exodus 12. Exodus 13, God set this particular month, and we'll read this in Exodus 12:2. This month, well, beginning with the instructions, and the Lord spake unto Moses in verse 1, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. This was the first month of the year. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Abib was the beginning of the Jewish year. Abib. Abib, in the Hebrew, it comes from an unused root meaning to be tender or green. That is a young ear of grain. There are only four times in Scripture that this month Abib is referred to as Abib. It's in Exodus 13 and the 4th verse. We have it in Exodus 23 and the 15th verse. We have it in Exodus 34 and the 18th verse. And then we have it here in Deuteronomy 16:1. Four times the Lord instructs them regarding this month Abib. Now, I would like to turn right quick. Keep your finger in Exodus 12. We will be coming back. Let's turn to Nehemiah 2. In Nehemiah 2, we know this is when Nehemiah and Ezra and then Nehemiah went back after the 70 years captivity to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and to reestablish the altar, reestablish everything that was torn down when they were taken captive. Verse 1 of Nehemiah 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. This Nisan, this is the first month of the year. It was changed from Abib to Nisan after the 70 years Babylonish captivity. And I was looking this afternoon, there are several months of the Jewish year that had a name prior to the captivity, then had another name after the captivity. The influence that those Babylonians had on the Jewish people. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 16. In the first verse it says, observe the month of Abib. And then it says, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month Abib, or the first month of the Jewish year, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. The Passover, it comes, let's look at is Exodus 12. It comes from two words, which God did on that night. Exodus 12, and he did this because of the blood. The only reason he passed over was because he saw the blood. Exodus 12, we'll begin with the 12th verse. God speaking, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And it was just judgment. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now this Passover speaks of Christ as our Redeemer. He redeemed, and he redeemed them, he redeemed us. Brother Schofield, down in the bottom of Exodus 14, he has some very good points regarding redemption. Redemption is wholly of God. Redemption is only through a person. Redemption is by blood. And redemption is by power. Now, I would like to look again back at Exodus 12. Well, actually with verse 11. Exodus 12, 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. This is looking forward to Christ. Verse 27 of this same chapter. That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. This is all looking forward to Christ. Let's look at Leviticus 23. We'll be coming back to Leviticus 23 also in a little bit. Leviticus 23, and I would like to begin with verse 4. These are the feasts, and the word feasts, it means a fixed time or a season, a set time or an appointed time. I think of that in Daniel that Mom brought out last Sunday regarding how Daniel, he told Nebuchadnezzar that it was God that changes the times and the seasons. Just here, God has set feasts. He expects them to be kept at the time that he set them. Now, I'll continue reading verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Notice it's the Lord's Passover. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new or fresh lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Jesus Christ is our Passover. It was because of his blood that God passed over us, that we didn't incur the judgment that was due us. And we'll read that. "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven or the old creation, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity or purity and truth." This is a feast. Now, regarding the blood that redeemed us, let's look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, "And let us never forget, we have been redeemed." As it says here in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible or decayable things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." For each individual here, this was done. Now let's turn back to Genesis 22. God provided himself a lamb, and that was Jesus Christ. This here with Isaac and Abraham and Isaac, this looked forward to Jesus redeeming us, becoming the lamb, to redeem us with his own precious blood. Genesis 22 and the 8th verse. We know how he went up in verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went of them together." That was Jesus. We read that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, a lamb slain. We read over in Revelation 5:9, where he stands in amongst the living ones as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. 21 times he as the lamb is mentioned in the book of Revelation. Let's look at Romans 3. Remember, this is the Lord's Passover. And we're going to get to that as we eat of that of unleavened bread. In Romans 3, I would like to read verses 24 and 25. "Being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." There it is. The redemption came through Christ Jesus, whom God set forth a propitiation, or a satisfaction, or a placating through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, during or through the forbearance of God. Now let's look back in Leviticus 16. We have two goats on the Day of Atonement. Okay, we're going to begin with the 5th verse of Leviticus 16. This is on the great Day of Atonement. And this is what the high priest is doing. "He shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, for which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats. The goats here speak of substitution, the sin offering. The goat speaks of Christ as our substitute. And present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron, in verse 8, shall cast lots upon the two goats. One lot for the Lord. See, the Lord reaps of this too. And the other lot for the scapegoat. And in verse 9, and Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now, I would like to turn again this blood that was shed for each one of us. Ephesians 1 and the 7th verse. This is the only place in whom we receive redemption. In verse 7 of Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches or the wealth of his grace. Now let's look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, and we're going to begin with the 12th verse. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's eternal. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This is what Christ as our Passover should mean to each one of us. Now let's look back at Exodus 12. The institution, the instructions that God gave Moses regarding the actual Passover. In verses 3 to 11, Exodus 12, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month of Abib, they shall take to them every man a lamb. They were each one to go out and get a lamb. Now, stay with me. I pray the Holy Spirit will help me to make this clear that you all can understand. First, take a lamb. Shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. It's just a lamb. No special lamb, just a lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. The lamb is beginning to mean something to you or to the family that has taken it in. It's just not a lamb anymore. It's the lamb. Then notice in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, or boiled at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, or that means all the inwards. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, what I want to attempt to bring out about this lamb. It speaks of Christ. When we first accept Jesus, he's just a lamb. Think of if you took a lamb, a four-footed lamb, into your home. It's just a lamb at first, but as that lamb became a part of your family, it's the lamb. Say you had to kill it like these people did. Your lamb, you had become so attached to it that it would hurt to sacrifice this lamb. It speaks of our apprehension of Christ. He's mine. He's just not a or the. He's mine. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. And this is what he wants. He wants to be so close to us. He wants our very lives to be wrapped up in his. And this is how much he loved us. And this is how much we are to love him. In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, or in these earthen vessels, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. In order for him to give himself for me, that love had to be there. We want to notice in verse 5 that this lamb was without blemish. This speaks of Christ, and we'll get to that. He had no sin. He was a male of the first year. He was in the fullness of his strength. He was 33 years old. That's when a man's the strongest. Let's look at Psalm 102:23-24. 33 is not an old age, but yet he was cut off. Psalm 102:23, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Now, this little lamb, he was innocent. He done nothing wrong. He didn't deserve to die. But this was what God called for in the Passover. An innocent little lamb to lay down its life. What was Jesus? He was innocent. He shed his blood. The thing about this blood here in Exodus 12, notice in verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Now, God's eye was not on the house. It may have been the most beautiful house, may have been the most rundown house. That's not what God looked at. He wasn't looking at who was in the house. He was looking at the blood, where the blood had been applied. When he came through Egypt that night, when he saw that blood, he was looking for that blood that spoke of his son, what he was going to do for every one of us that was in the slave market of sin. He was looking at that blood. He couldn't care less who was in that house, what that house looked like, that blood. That was his son's blood that he was looking forward to. Let's look at Hebrews 11:28. To the average person, to put blood up on the doorpost and the lintels would be very silly. But God said it. Therefore, as we read in Hebrews 11:28, Moses didn't look at the things like the natural man looks at him. Oh, well, that's a dumb thing to do. God told him to do it. He stepped out in faith, through faith. You think it took Moses some faith to do that? Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He stepped out in faith. He believed, just like Abram. God told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. He could have sat down and says, well, where are we going? I'm not going until I know where we're going. Well, that's not faith. He obeyed just as Moses did. God told him to do it. He obeyed. No questions. Okay, Lord, I'll do what you say. I don't understand, but I believe you. I'll do it because you said it. Now, in verse 8, this fire, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. The fire here speaks of Christ's atoning death. The lamb, as well as its flesh and inwards, were to be eaten. We also have to eat to appropriate to ourselves what Christ is. We eat this. We eat this, and as we eat this word, that's how we appropriate Christ. And as we eat that word, what in the natural, when we eat, that food becomes a part of us. That's the same in the spiritual. When we eat, it becomes a part of us. And we are what we eat. As we take in Christ, we become more Christ-like. Roast with fire, this lamb endured the judgment of God. It spoke of Christ in doing our judgment that was due us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he hath made him sin for us, who knew no sin. That lamb was without blemish. He had no sin in him, but yet that lamb was killed, so that firstborn wouldn't be killed, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, let's go back to Exodus 12. It says to partake of all of that. We have to partake of all of him. Yes, he was holy through and through. Okay, this feast, we read in Deuteronomy 16 that they were to keep the Passover. And it was as a memorial. The Passover happened in Egypt. And now the second generation was to keep it as a memorial. Because God, he instituted it as a feast himself in Exodus 12, 14. And this day shall be unto you, speaking of the Passover, for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance, forever. It was a perpetual ordinance. Israel was never to forget how God redeemed them with the blood of the Lamb, which in type looked forward to Jesus, who would redeem all mankind from the slave market and redeemed us, who Satan was the head slave master. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7. I found several times in Deuteronomy the times that he said you're to remember. You're never to forget what I've brought you out of. Deuteronomy 7, we'll read the 7th verse. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the hand of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Also, in our chapter we finished last week, Deuteronomy 15:15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Let's look over at chapter 24, Deuteronomy 24 and the 18th verse. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Then in verse 22 of this 24th chapter, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. They were never to forget. Then in verses 3 and 4 in Deuteronomy, we read that thou shalt not eat leavened bread with the Passover. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread. This is the feast of unleavened bread. The feast and the feast of Passover and the feast of unleavened bread were inseparable. They're as one feast. Unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread here speaks of communion and joy based upon the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now leaven, it speaks of sin or corruption. Let's turn to Galatians 5:9. We read 1 Corinthians 5:6. Let's look at Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just this little here is a small quantity. I use 2 1/4 teaspoons of yeast to 5 cups of flour, and it leavens all 5 cups of flour. Just a little leaveneth the whole lump. Leaveneth here in Galatians 5:9, it speaks of to cause to ferment, or to boil up, or to be hot. There was to be no leavened bread during this feast of unleavened bread. This bread, unleavened bread, speaks of the body of Christ, which had absolutely no sin in it. Let's turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, and we'll read the 10th verse. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Jesus' body, in fact, did see no corruption during those 3 days that it laid in the grave, because there was no sin in it. Let's turn to Leviticus 2. Leviticus 2, and I would like to read the 11th verse. This is in regards to the meal offering. No meal offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Again, leaven is an emblem of corruption or an emblem of sin. These are specific instructions regarding the meal offering, which in type spoke of Jesus' body. He had to have a body, and that body had no sin in it, in order for him to be offered as the burnt, the peace, the trespass, and the sin offering. He was the perfect sacrifice. Now I would like to turn of two examples. Let's turn back to Genesis 18. How the feast of Passover, where the blood was shed, and the feast of unleavened bread are one. They're intertwined. One cannot go without the other. In Genesis 18, I know Mom will get to this, Lord willing, in a few lessons, but this is when the triune God came and spoke to Abraham. Abraham knew who they were. We'll begin in verse 6. And Abraham hastened unto the tent of unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. And the fine meal here speaks of the perfect. Okay, the fine meal in type speaks of the even or balance of the perfect character of Christ. There was nothing lacking in Christ. He said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. The blood was shed by that calf that was tender. The young man dressed it, or he slaughtered it. We have the fine meal. We have the calf that shed the blood. And we know that in verse 8, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Or in other words, Abraham and the triune God had fellowship based on the blood and body of Jesus that would be shed, that his blood would be and body would be broken at Calvary. Now let's look at Genesis 19. We have a contrast. This is regarding Lot, and we heard about Lot last Wednesday night. In verse 2 of Genesis 19, and he said, behold now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. They didn't desire any fellowship with Lot. And Lot pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. There was no bloodshed there. There was no communion between, this was the Godhead again that came to Lot. Two of them. There was no fellowship because there was no communion. The blood was not spilt. In Deuteronomy 16, we read that the sacrifice, thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The bread, the sacrifice of the feast of Passover and the unleavened bread were to be offered at the central sanctuary, where Jehovah was the center. No one else but Jehovah. Jehovah had an order, and he means for that order to be obeyed and complied with, because he is a God of order. In 1 Corinthians 14:41, he doth all things decently and in order. God's order is to be kept. Now let's look at Joshua 5. We see the first time they kept the Passover once they got into Canaan. Joshua 5, and we'll begin with the 9th verse. Well, we better begin with the 7th verse, because this was very important. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, whom Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Gilgal speaks of Calvary. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, Abib, even in the plains of Jericho. Now, the reason that I had us read the fact that these were all, Joshua circumcised them, let's look back at Exodus 12. This was a very important act that Joshua had to do, because they could not keep the Passover unless these were circumcised. In Exodus 12, we'll begin with the 41st verse. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. We know that looked forward. None of Jesus' bones were broken when he hung on the cross. Verse 47, All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. In order to eat the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you had to be a new creation. Now let's turn to 2 Chronicles. In study this afternoon, the Lord showed me this, and wow, I was totally taken back. They kept the Passover in the Feast of Unleavened Bread here at Gilgal. As soon as they crossed Jordan, they kept the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They did not keep it again until 2 Chronicles 35. Good King Josiah, and I sat there this afternoon and I thought of all the different generations, all through Joshua, all through Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, the Passover was not kept. In 2 Chronicles 35, okay, we'll read that verse. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. I should have written down, because here we go. In verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 35, And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let's look at Judges 2. Why they didn't keep the Passover. It was the attitude of the people's hearts. Judges 2. Remember, the Lord delivered them and took them into Canaan. They kept the Passover there in Joshua 5. Then the Lord gave them the different the sections of the boundaries that each of the tribes got. And then this, Joshua dies in verse 8 of Judges 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Notice in verses 11, 12, and 13, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. In verse 13, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Look at the hearts. Here, everything that God did for them, brought them into Canaan, gave them their inheritance. But they weren't grateful down in their hearts. How easily one forgets what they've been brought out of. We see this today. God's people, they want to go out into the world. They like what the world has. Have they forgotten what God's done for them? Colossians 1:13, he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. Why? This is what I can't understand. Ezra 6. This was at the end of the 70-year captivity. Ezra went back to restore the temple. I would like to begin in the 19th verse. And this was the first time in 70 years that the Passover was kept. King Josiah was a ways before they were taken into captivity. And this is after they returned, after the 70 years captivity. In verse 19, and the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure, and killed a Passover for all the children of the captivity, and for their brethren the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful. The joy comes from the heart. And turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. They kept it at the center sanctuary. God was the center of these feasts. Let's look at Numbers 28, and we're not going to read this, but I'm going to give you the reference to Numbers 28. And if you get your study books out on nourishment and numbers, the types are all broken down for you. In Numbers 28, in verses 16 to 25, these were the sacrifices that they were to offer during the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And every one of these sacrifices spoke of Jesus. Every one of them. Now, in verse 8 in chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, we have a phrase. The very last phrase of this verse, thou shalt do no work therein. We'll read the whole verse. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. We also have that phrase, that very phrase, over in Leviticus 23 regarding these two feasts. In Leviticus 23:7, it says, in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Then in verse 8, in the very last part of the verse, ye shall do no servile work therein. In type, it speaks of the fact that we had nothing to do with the work of Calvary. We had nothing to do with Jesus shedding his blood for us. Yes, we were sinners. Yes, we had sin that needed to be covered, and yes, we were slaves in the slave market of Satan. But as to the covering, we had no part in. Let's look at Titus 3:5. And I'm thankful we had nothing to do with it. We can appreciate it even more, because we didn't deserve it. But because of God's love, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I would like to look at the feast of the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. In Luke 22, the Lord Himself instituted this for us. Luke 22, beginning with the 15th verse. Luke 22, yes. Okay, we'll begin with the 14th verse. And when the hour was come, He sat down, and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, with desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And in verse 19, and we'll look at this where Paul has instructed this regarding this also. And he, in verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. See, he hadn't even gone to the cross yet, but he knew what was ahead of him. He knew the purposes of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. And this is what we do. 1 Corinthians 11, and I would like to begin with the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I have a note, and I think Sister Bodie brings this out, that this is a forget-me-not feast. A forget-me-not feast. This remembrance here in the Greek, it means it's not in memory of, but in an affectionate calling of the person himself to mind. As we stand up here and we partake of the Lord's Supper, we should be calling to our mind Him. Not in memory of. Yes, we look back to the work that was done on Calvary. And yes, we do it until He comes. But we think of Him. It's a forget-me-not feast. The unleavened cracker or the bread, the unleavened bread speaks of His body. We partake of His broken body. That body was broken for each one of us. And the wine, it speaks of the blood that was shed for us. And study, I thought of the study that Brother Grant made about the wine. So many think that it's okay to use grape juice in communion in this forget-me-not feast. But that grape juice has leaven in it. He explains in this study that he wrote up that the fermentation that grape grows through kills every bit of that leaven. And therefore, it speaks of that blood that had no sin in it that was shed for us.